now challenge each other.
Who won? I'll fight for it.
Draw, pull, pull, pull.
What do you draw?
Let's go.
They play the main, baby. Let's get it.
Long one pays off. 60 minutes. Go, man. 60 plus minutes.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro here, live from the NovaCare Complex on this Thursday. We got a lot to talk about, people. The Eagles, players, everyone's rushing to defend Andy Reid. I don't think he needs to be defended here, okay? Andy Reid is the head coach here, has been in his 13th year, and will be, hopefully, for many years to come. I'm a big Andy Reid fan, and I would love to talk to you about it. All right, I've been here for a long time, gone through a lot of coaches. I know a winner when I see one. I know a winner when I work with one. And all of that said, what matters is one thing. One thing matters, and that is beating the Washington Redskins on Sunday. I'm not here to talk about what's going to happen at the end of the year. I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year. I don't know what's going to happen this week. But the focus is one thing. It is this week's game. So I think it's admirable that Michael Vick took time out to defend his coach. I think that's what leaders do. I like the fact that Jason Avant held a players-only meeting. I like that. I see all the media here, and I know why they're here. Well, they're not there. It's an empty room, but soon they will be. I understand all that. It's not my first rodeo, people. Been through a lot of seasons. Unfortunately, some of those seasons not so good. Most of them pretty good, though. But 3-13 in 98, Andy Reid's first year here when people were like, what the heck is this guy doing? We are all disappointed at being 1-4. But the focus is on right here. And if people around here begin to wonder what's going to happen at the end of the year or this or that or trying to figure the next step for the Eagles as they look to the future is one game, all right? It's one game. And that's the focus. So Andy Reid sits up there at this press conference. You guys see him on Wednesdays. You see him on Fridays. And then you see him on game days. And he's right there. He's not shying away from being in the crosshairs of anything. And he's disappointed at being 1-4 too. But his job is to make sure this team wins on Sunday against the Washington Redskins. That's the only thing that matters in this building this week. And I know we all like to jump to the end of the story here, read the end of the book first. That takes away the fun. Things change very quickly in the NFL. Perfect example. What were you thinking about 6 weeks ago? How have you changed as an Eagles fan in the last month and a half? From those heady days in training camp when the Eagles were signing up all of these big names, all this great talent, to watching the Eagles lose four straight games. I know the Eagles haven't won a Super Bowl. I'm frustrated. I want the ring, okay? It's why we're here. It's why we're here. We want the ring. It's what fuels you every day here. You work every day of the year, all right? You work every day of the year. And you work because you want to win the Super Bowl, all right? You work, you love the adrenaline rush on game days. We sit here and we answer the fans who are awesome every day. You come here, you're happy or you're sad, and we're here talking. We're just as happy and just as sad. Nothing better than to win a football game. Those 12 hours after you win a football game, great feeling. Those 12 hours after you lose a football game, awful feeling. And then you got to come back in here Monday and pretend like nothing happened and prepare for the next week. And it's all about the next week and the Washington Redskins. So I would love to hear what you have to say about Andy Reid. And you be honest, I know you guys are pissed. You're welcome to tee off on the head coach. I take the full body of work rather than the last 4 weeks and evaluate Andy Reid. And I know that he's got to win on Sunday. That's all I care about. 215-339-6709. Let's go to D.C. and talk to Carl. Hey, Carl.
Dave, you sound like you're feeling a little better today than you were on Monday.
Of course. Of course.
Well, needless to say, the whole talk around here is Eagles can't do diddly squat, and I'm surrounded by it.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I like what I've seen this week. The one thing I do get a kick out of is in the 13 years Andy Reid has been here, he does not air what's going on with this team in the media. He never has.
Well, and you know what? The players appreciate that, and that's why people like playing for Andy Reid. And I know his press conferences are boring, and I know he doesn't show any emotion, and I know he doesn't throw players under the bus. You know, guess what? That's what coaches are supposed to take the bullets, and that's what he does without fail.
Exactly. I've been in management for a long time. You've got a problem with somebody on your team, you do not do it in public. And especially with the way the media age is here with Twitter and everything else, it just gets so blown out of proportion.
Well, everything does.
It's not even funny. But I'm confident that I'm with you. I like what I've seen this week. This season is a marathon, guys, not a sprint. And if we listened to the media, the Eagles would have either already won the Super Bowl or already been out of the playoffs by now.
Yeah, Carl, I will say this. Listen, I've been here a long time. I've seen a lot of games. What happens during the week, I mean, is really just fodder to get us all through Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
How much of it actually translates to Sunday, I don't know. I know that these players, they don't like to lose. They don't want to lose. They know their jobs are on the line. But then you got to go out and do it. And I would have said the same thing last week, that the Eagles were focused and ready, and then they throw an interception in the first two drives, and then the Bills have a 20. Oh, you look up, and it's a 28-7 lead, and you're like, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah, it's the old adage, you know, when a snowball starts rolling, it rolls fast. But I like that they came back out in the second half. They did not give up, and they fought hard and almost pulled it off. And I tell you what, that is something you can't coach. You can't coach a team's drive and a belief that they can get this done. That's got to come from the players.
Okay. I agree.
I think we're going to do it this week. Like I said, take it one game at a time. Let everything else take care of itself. Forget what the national media and everybody else is yelling about.
Give me a prediction, Carl.
24-17, Birds.
Okay. Hey, Carl, I love the optimism.
Okay. Have a good day, Dave.
Thanks. You too. It's Carl in D.C. starting us off the right way. Bobby April and Marty Morningweg and Juan Castillo meet the media here shortly. It's Coordinator Day here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to take a little break here. We'll take one more phone call, take a break. Actually, we can do that first. Yeah, let's go to Mike Shanahan's press conference. Let's first take a – we have a phone call here, Colin? Who do we got? Oh, Chris in Virginia. Hey, Chris. Chris in Virginia joins us. Hey, Chris.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Big week this week down here in VA, you know, with all the Skins fans, and especially how I ran my mouth over the summer.
Well, you got to take it, man. You got to be a man. Are you going to be at the game?
You know what? I should be getting tickets, so I'm definitely going to make an effort to be there and cheer on this team, man.
Good. We need you. I would imagine, and there always are a lot of Eagles fans at FedEx Field. I would certainly tell you all that we need you there. We need you there. But, boy, the crowd in Buffalo was great. Atlanta was great. St. Louis was great. So we know you'll be there.
Definitely. Hey, Dave, speaking of Andy Reid, you know, I like the guy. I came into an Eagles fan before his time, so I kind of know what it used to be. Like, I was at the Eagles-Giants game, and, you know, fans are leaving saying Andy Reid this interview. I said, hey, buddy, I got two words for you, Rich Kotite. The guy didn't say a word.
Look, I think the frustration is that we haven't won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And I think we all share that frustration. I just think he's a real good coach, and
we all have high expectations because of Andy Reid.
I don't take winning for granted. I appreciate the fact that the Eagles have been in the playoffs 9 years of the last 12, and it's hard to do. It's really hard to do, and I think the Eagles are a well-run organization in large part because there's such a great working relationship between Andy Reid and the front office.
yeah, you know, you don't really hear anything any bad about, you know, anybody, you know, rolling anybody under the bus, which is good.
Yeah, it doesn't happen here. Doesn't happen here. But that said, look, it doesn't automatically turn around this year. It doesn't automatically turn around just because Andy Reid's here. It turns around because we need to, every single person, every single player, every single coach, they have to be better than they've been. My gosh, you can't turn the football over. You can't make these silly mistakes that this team has made.
Yeah, it's almost Pee-wee fundamentals, you know, tackling, hold on to the ball. And I mean, it's just simple stuff that, I don't know if Mike said, we're pressing too hard or guys are trying to do too much. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's part of it. But, yeah, I guess, in your opinion, which is the most frustrating? Is it the tackling or is it the turnovers? When you're watching a game, what infuriates you more? I mean, is it the...
Dave, to be honest with you, the fact that we can march the ball up and down the field and not do anything in the red zone and turnovers. I mean, the fact we march the ball up and down the field and we just don't do anything when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
That's what really frustrates me.
It is very frustrating. I mean, I think probably the defense is a bit more frustrating to me, though.
Yeah.
I just want to see this defense. In a couple of games, Eagles have had momentum, and then they just don't hold on to it.
Yeah, I want to see the Eagles' defense from the second and third quarters of the Atlanta game. That's what I'm looking for. That shut down. There's no killer instinct.
Yeah.
Any team that's up 20 points, any Eagles team, we're ripping the head off. You know, but unfortunately, there's not that killer mentality that I want to see.
I don't know talent? Is it? I don't know what it is. It's performance, and it hasn't been good performance.
No, well, let me give you a prediction so you can get on with the rest of the show. I'm going to go, you know what, Dave, it might sound a little crazy, but I predicted a 40 burger last year, and I'm just going to go with the same thing. I'm going to go 42-24.
And that's because you're in Virginia and you're sick of all your neighbors talking trash.
Exactly, talking crap, and hey, we got to give them some humble pie here.
Yes. Chris, hope you enjoy the weekend. Let's talk next week.
Definitely have a good Eagles day, Dave.
You got it, man. Thank you so much. All right, Mike Shanahan, meeting the media. As the Redskins prepare for the Eagles, Shanahan doing a great job with a good football team down there. The Redskins 3-1, and they are ready for the Eagles.
It was good. It was good to get away for a few days and kind of re-energize your battery and get ready to go.
How was Anthony Darrell, were they both full go? Or?
D.Y. was full go today. Anthony was limited.
How about Hightower?
Limited.
Yeah.
With his neck. Neck's a little sore.
How much do you have to see out of him to determine if he's going to play Phillip? Or do you feel like, you know, he's in good enough shape that you could throw him right in there this week?
We have people as limited. We're going to kind of evaluate them during the week to see how they practice and, you know, see how they look. And if somebody looks good over the next couple of days, then you got a good gut feeling about him. You let him play. If not, obviously you don't.
Does he have a lot to learn? Have you guys tweaked things?
Well, a guy like Phillip, you know, you got to make sure he's in football shape. You got to make sure his neck's feeling good. You know, he hasn't had football-related drills for, you know, over a month, even though he practiced, you know, one day last week and, you know, he's getting in condition. It's still football-related drills that he hasn't done. So we'll evaluate him this week and, you know, do what's best for the team.
Where does he fit right now in terms of just being inside? He hasn't done it since he was in Oakland. He said he did a lot of it in college, but just with a couple of those other guys at cornerback, does he do a little bit of everything? Or?
Well, he has the ability to do both. You know, he can play outside. We know he can play at the right side. He's done that before. He's worked inside. You know, he's done it before. And he's practicing there to, you know, to have the ability to help us wherever he can.
How did Kevin Barnes do with his opportunity to get some elevated chances?
He's done good. You know, he's been at nickel from the beginning. He's played well.
What kind of challenges does Eagles wide nine defensive front present?
And everybody's got different schemes. You know, if it's the everybody talks about the wide nine. You know, sometimes the linebacker's out there, sometimes the defensive end's out there. If the defensive end's outside, then either a linebacker or safety inside. So a lot of different schemes we'll see throughout the year. We've seen wide nines by a number of teams throughout the years. And everybody's got a little different philosophy on what they like to do.
Do you see them still kind of getting comfortable in it? I know Nnamdi talked about it a little bit. Cooley was talking about how you can tell that they miss their OTAs and changing that defensive scheme a little bit?
Well, I think any time you introduce a new system, offense, defense, you know, if you're a first-year coach or first-year coordinator, and you miss those OTAs, you know, you're missing a lot of reps that you normally get. And obviously, you know, they've missed a lot of reps that they normally have. And you bring into that the equation of, you know, new free agents, new draft choices. It does take some time. You know, a big difference for our football team from the first year to the second year. Getting an understanding of your personnel first. Then you got draft choices. Then you get players, you know, adjusting to a scheme, people that fit within your scheme. So it doesn't happen overnight.
Mike, I know you've been asked this before, but could you evaluate Rex and where he is at this point for you?
From what perspective?
Just how he's been playing this year, where you see his development, his improvement.
You know, I think quarterbacks, when they evaluate themselves, they're going to take a look at each game. And he would probably say, you know, I played pretty good against the Giants. Like to have a couple throws back. Arizona made some big-time throws in clutch situations. Still a couple plays I'd like to have back. Probably against the Rams. You know, I had a chance to put them away. A couple throws in the fourth quarter. You know, one deflection, another one, it was a drop, but he still knows that he's got to take care of that ball. And, you know, that's kind of typical. You can go back through all those games against Dallas, you know, on the final drive. He probably wishes he would have made one play a little differently. But quarterbacks could have got to be tough on themselves. But you got to find a way to win. And when you find a way to win, it does a lot, because it's not just throwing the football. It's the way you manage a game. It's the way you handle yourself with your teammates. It's how you prepare, how you work on game day. So a lot of things go into being the quarterback of a football team.
It seems to me every division game is important, but do you sense anything different about your team knowing the opportunity at hand, not only for you guys, but also to bury them in a pretty deep
position? I think our football team understands that, you know, it's a 16-game season. We talk about it all the time. We talk about, you know, don't worry about what happens 3 weeks from now. Just take care of business. And if you do that, you got a chance for good things to happen. I think our football team really thinks that way. We understand this is a big game, a division game, NFC East. We understand, you know, our opportunity to separate ourselves, you know, in the division. But we also know that we got to take care of business and do things the right way and, you know, play one of our best games, because we're playing a very, very talented team and a team that we know is desperate for a win. They don't want to go into the bye week 1-5. And we understand that. We're going to get their best shot.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm sorry. It's never a problem knowing what's on, say, D'Angelo Hall's mind, because he's going to say what he thinks. But a guy like Ryan Terrain, who's very humble and low key as a coach, what's the challenge of working with players like that, as far as making sure that you've got the pulse on what they're feeling and thinking and how they're doing and such?
Well, everybody's got different personalities. Just because, you know, some people speak their mind, other people won't, doesn't mean somebody's not ready to play. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, type of personalities, a lot of different styles. But ultimately, you have to have everybody going in the same direction and people believing in themselves and preparing themselves, and that's what we're hoping we're doing.
You find it tough to get a read on Ryan?
No, it's easy. You know, it's easy for me. He's always ready. He's always ready to play. You know, he works extremely hard, and, you know, what's been Ryan's problem over the years is just staying healthy. And it's nice to have him back full speed and the hands feeling good. And I think everybody saw what he did against the Rams, so hopefully he can stay, you know, at that level.
With Ryan's strong game at St. Louis, does that change Roy Blue's role at all?
No, it doesn't. You know, at the tailback position, it's kind of it's really a unique position, because you're really not sure how many times you're going to run the football during the game. So many different situations pop up where a guy could carry it 3, 4, 5 times in a row. A guy needs a break, you put somebody else in. Somebody gets hot. Somebody doesn't get hot, they turn the football over. And what you want to do is have depth at that position. I think we have some depth at that position, so I feel pretty good about where we're at.
You spend most of your time in the bubble here, just game planning and all that kind of stuff. But in your 2 years in this market with this franchise, what have you learned about people yearning for success here? They haven't had it for a while. When you're out, do you hear from people that want to get back to the kind of glory days that were long in the past now?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think what you do, or at least what I've tried to do, is just put the best football team together that you can. You know, we talk about last year. A lot of people ask me about the Philly game. We'll have less than half the people that are part of the 46-man squad actually dress in this next game. They weren't part of the game last year, over half. That's a huge amount. You take a look at free agency, you take a look at the draft, you think about half the people weren't even associated with that game a year ago. So we've got some young players, we've got some new players. We got a lot of tradition here. The thing that I really enjoy about the fans is that they want stability. You know, they want character. They want team. They want a football team that's going to play hard week in, week out. And hopefully we can show some consistency to them.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We are back as we take a look into the auditorium. A little action there. Prior to Bobby April and Juan Castillo, Marty Mornhinwig, meeting the media here shortly. In the meantime, we take some phone calls from you. Let's go to Jersey and talk to CJ. Hey, CJ.
Dave, how's it going, man?
Come see, come saw.
Yeah, a couple things real quick, Dave.
Okay.
I was really down this week. Monday, particularly, was a tough day for me.
Yeah.
I didn't actually get to see the game entirety. I was actually driving in the car, so I was getting the NFL mobile updates.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, I actually watched NFL replay, and it made me feel better. I know that's going to sound crazy.
Okay.
But I really saw something towards in the second half that made me think, okay, we seem to get it. Obviously, they're still playing the wide nine, but there was something going on in the back, and that, you know, we were able to shut down some runs. The tackling got a little bit better.
They just seem more, it may have just been this. They may have just been more aggressive, more confident. Like the light. Paul Domowicz from the Philadelphia Daily News, I urge all Eagles fans who are contemplating jumping to read what he wrote yesterday. Go to Philly.com and check it out. And he said the better days are, the best days are coming for the Eagles because he's a curmudgeon. He's a great guy. I love him. But his point was that, you know what? It's not, there are things that he saw that, like you said, it just seemed like the light went on for Brian Roll, and Nate Allen played really well, and the defense just kind of picked up the intensity, and that may be all it was. I don't know.
I don't know what it was, but I saw it, and it made me feel like, okay, all right, maybe this is the turning point. I mean, again, obviously ball security, like you've been talking about all week, is a big deal, but I mean, again, Jason Avant, I mean, how many times is he really going to fumble? So. It's one of those things. It's a bad play, but I think we recover from it. You know, and I want to bring up one point.
Yes.
One thing that you said that I agreed with totally. But I just want to throw this out there, too. Asante is playing about seven yards off of, off of the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw what he was trying to do. He was trying to jump the screen pass.
Let's show that play.
While I want him to press, if he, you know, if Fitzpatrick throws that screen pass, it's a touchdown. And I'm kind of, you know, I want him to get up and I want him to press. I'm asking, this is more so of a question, is there a way that we get DRC on the field to press maybe and let Asante kind of roam, you know, sort of? Because that's really the way he plays. It's the way he's always played. Is there a way to do that? Or
what you're asking is, do you want to sit Asante Samuel and get DRC on the field? Is that what you're saying?
No. I want them both to be on the field, but I want Asante to be able to kind of be that roaming sort of rover that, you know, essentially what's made him a big playmaker is that he jumps routes all the time. And we're getting burned a little bit, but I'm saying because we have the personnel, you know, now that can press with DRC, with Nnamdi,
mm-hmm.
could we not just let him be like a rover type deal? Is that not something that maybe...
I don't think that they're going to invent a position right now. I don't think there's a rover type guy. Look, a rover to me would be like Nnamdi. Here's Santana Moss. He's over there. Go get him. I will say this about Asante. Asante is a great football player. His game is off coverage.
Right.
Personally, as a novice who loves the game, who watches it like you, who thinks he knows a little bit, but in reality, I don't know anything close to what those guys, the coaches, the scouts, all these people know. Nothing. Players. But I don't want to see anybody in off coverage anymore. That's just me. I want everybody up the line of scrimmage. So Asante's got to get up this week. Get up at the line of scrimmage and press. I just don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to give 5-yard completions and make the tackle at 7 yards. Got a question for you, BT. Hang on. And then try to rely on the tackle. I don't want that because this team has not tackled well. So I don't want it anymore. So get up to the line of scrimmage and let's play ball in their faces. Don't give a 7-yard cushion to Naaman Roosevelt, who had one catch heading into the game. I don't want Naaman Roosevelt catching the football. That's all. That's just what I just. It's just got to be some. Will they give up big plays that way? Perhaps. But they're giving up big plays so much right now.
Anyway,
here's Bobby April. Give me a quick prediction.
56-3. Go
Thank
Birds.
You, man. All right, brother. Here's Bobby April.
Take us through the onside kick to start the second half.
Okay, we we deploy a formation before we shift our normal deal. If they don't, you know, react to it or deploy themselves to defend it, we always have that as a possibility. You know, we kind of muffed it up, but it worked out. It worked out pretty good. He has to, you know, the ball has to be put in play by the official on a stop clock, and that's certainly a stop clock. And the official actually is the referee. You know, is down at the other end, not close to the ball like he normally is, and he puts it ready for play. And we didn't miss. Then he hit it too hard, and. We really were kind of fortunate. It's really a delay of game. It's a delay of game, and we kind of were fortunate on that. So we didn't get the ball, and then we didn't have the penalty either.
So it wasn't a situation where you went into halftime telling Alex, we're executing this at the beginning of the second half. It was something more that you read?
No, we just saw the way they lined up.
How important was it for Alex to come back and kick?
Well, it's one he should make, you know, but it was important because, like all field goals, you know, they're important for a lot of reasons. They're important to get the three points. They're important for field position. For him, obviously, coming off having missed the last two, they were critical. This was at a critical time. You know, it was big. I mean, it was big. They're all big, but that one was for a lot of reasons. Psychologically big for him, sure.
Bobby, it looks like your coverage has been pretty good, both on kickoffs and punts. Is the thing that concerns you most the inability to really break something on a return?
Yeah, well, everything concerns me, you know, because you never, you know, you walk the plank every week not knowing what's going to happen. I mean, there's, you know, anything can happen in a game. And like over the door of a submarine, you know, one wrong, all wrong. One guy breaks down and you could have a catastrophe. So, you know, everything concerns me. I think the thing about the returns, a lot of times on the punt, a lot of times, the punter controls what's happening. You know, he gives a hang time that allows the coverage to get there, or he puts it to a spot that you can't quite get to. So, you know, he controls a lot of that. On the kickoff return, though, you know, obviously the new rule controls a lot of it, but we just haven't done a good job of getting in position to block. Ultimately, I'm responsible for getting those guys in position and having the right guys to be in positions, because sometimes it's purely a matter of matching up with the other guy. You know, if you put a guy out there, you know, who's in the eighth grade and he's blocking somebody in the 11th grade, he usually gets beat. If you know that, or you should know that. So sometimes you make misjudgments on the matchup. Sometimes maybe we didn't practice it properly, or wasn't specific enough. But I don't think it's the running of Deion as much as it's the getting the guys in the right places and then having them execute the block properly.
Here.
Their punter. Well, the guy's a good punter. You know, he's had good years here. I mean, every year he got better and better. So he's a good punter. I mean, once you get around midfield, he may be the best now. I mean, maybe the best ever. I don't know, because that was his forte. You know, I mean, he could nail him inside the 20. And this year, his field punts are probably improved over last year. So, yeah, his staff's having a great year. He's having a great year. We'd like to take that away from him this week, but he definitely having a heck of a year.
Bobby, they've had two field goals blocked. Where has the pressure come from?
Well, you know, there have been two reasons why they were blocked. The one, he just mishit the ball. He could have hit it no more than 5 or 6 feet. On the coaching film, it's hard to see exactly the trajectory of the kick, but it's no more than 5 or 6 feet above the ground by the time it goes into the line. And then the second one that was blocked, the holder bobbled the ball. The kicker delayed, and then it was such a late get-off time, the guy came off the corner and got his hand on it. So in both instances, it was the operation, it wasn't the protection. So and that's, you know, that's them not getting it done. The other team took advantage of it and was there prepared for when they made a mistake, but they actually made mistakes. They had those blocked.
Had a couple of blocks in the preseason, then you had one against San Fran. And when King, after that, he was saying you were close on some others. How close have you been?
Well, I think we have been close. And I think King has been close. You know, that's a big, imposing guy to put in there. And, you know, he's really been into it. And that's a big part of how successful you're going to be. And he is. So, I think he's got a chance every week to get one. I really do. I think every week you give him a little something, you try to take advantage of what they're doing, or, you know, where their weaknesses are, and you put King in there. I mean, it's a big man, and his reach, and he's athletic too. I mean, I don't think he's ready to play corner or anything, but I think, you know, as an offensive lineman, he's pretty athletic guy, so he can twist and turn in there and extend at the right time. So he's got a chance. I mean, he's got a chance for, I'd say he's got a chance for a few more.
Do you still get to use him when he's starting a tackle?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Going back to what Jason did 2 weeks ago in that same game, you know, Carmo was going nuts, but that was a legal play, right? You can go over the other team's back, you just can't go over your own guy's back?
Well, what Jason did was very close to being illegal because you can go over anybody. you could be back 20 yards and take a running start. And if you can clear everybody, that's fine. You just, unless you're within a yard of the ball, you can't make any contact. Now, it goes even further. If you're within a yard of the ball and you make contact with somebody and you use that as an impetus to elevate yourself, to push off of them, that's a penalty. That's I can't think of the term they use for that, but leverage. Oh yeah, that's illegal. So when he jumped over there, and his feet caught the back end of the snapper, it kind of looked like he pushed off, and maybe he did. The referee didn't see it that way, fortunately, because that would have been a tough penalty. But we're not advising him to be that close. We wanted him to clear the guy. We really wanted him to clear. I thought he would. Thought he could. And he can at other times. It just happens at that one. He didn't bound properly, or the guy got up a little more than he thought. He was a little taller maybe than he thought, because Jennings is a pretty big guy. All right, fellas. Thank you.
All right, that is special teams coordinator Bobby April, and the Redskins very solid in their special teams, good kicking game. The Eagles need to get something in the return game going. We'll see what Bobby April has planned for that. Let's take a couple of calls here. Simon in Laurel calls. Hey, Simon.
Hey, how are you doing, Dave?
Good, how you doing? You wanted to talk to me, man. You're all ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready. Well, I just got to say one thing, couple of things, let's just say. Why don't they play the safety more down with the linebackers to help them out with a run?
I hope to see that this week. What can I tell you? Against this team, where you know they're going to try to run the football on you, where they are going to be very try to play a lot of power football on you, screen game, the bubble screens, the short passing game, I'm with you, man. Eagles have been attacked in the middle of the field. And it's time to get somebody else in there in the middle of the field.
Yeah, because they saying to play Ashanti press coverage. Ashanti not a press cover. If you watch when he was playing back with
He's got to be. But he's got to be a press cover.
When he was playing with the Patriots, he's more of a guy to read a quarterback.
Yeah, and then go break on the ball. Picks. Right.
Exactly. So I'm saying, yes, he could play more closer to the wide receiver, but right now, we're not getting killed by basically the wide receivers. Even though we're getting killed by the pass rush. The running back come up and they pass the ball to the running back, and he does more of us in the middle. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'm not sure what the answer is, though, other than bringing more people to the line of scrimmage.
Exactly. So you bring the safety down, stop playing the safety way back, because they're not going to beat. I don't see the Redskins having any wide receivers to beat us down way back with the safety, because you leave Namdi over there as a press cover, he's going to hold Santa Lamar. Bring the safety back, control Torin. Torin is a one-rooted guy. He don't have any feet movement. If he has a breakthrough, he's going to go straight.
Yeah.
So you just try to bring more guys down in the box and hold the pressure on the running back, because Rex Grossman, you have Bobbin going up for him, he's gonna choke, just like Tony Romo.
Well, let's look for some Eagles plays in the backfield. Let's look for them to play more of an aggressive, and not change the wide nine. You've got your pressure there, but you know, let's see where the linebackers line up. Let's see where the safeties line up. I don't know what to expect on Sunday. I mean, again, we've said this all week. Simon, if your best player is on the field or your cornerbacks in coverage, let them cover and put the pressure on them.
Yeah, of course, because the coach is supposed to know the player's strength. Even though this player is have this strength, use them at that strength. And yes, we have new guys. It's going to take a while to gel, but even though it's the last game in the second half, I see a total difference in the game coming to the final stretch. They play better in the fourth quarter than any other game they play for the season.
I thought the Falcons game, there was a stretch during the Falcons game where the Eagles were dominant defensively. Third quarter, they came back from that deficit. They took a 10-point lead. The defense was rolling, and then the defense went splat. 280 yard drives allowed. So, Simon, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde team. And
yeah, that's true. You have new pieces, and I feel that they're going to win this weekend. I'm going to guarantee they're going to win. I'm going to guarantee a win this weekend because we cannot go 5-0 going into the bye season, into the bye week. We have to dominate and let all the media thinking, okay, then, where was this team for the past 5 games?
I hope so. Give me a score.
My score is going to be 31-21.
31-21? Okay. Simon, I'm glad you got through. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm well.
All right, take care. Cool. Right, thanks for the call. I don't expect Trent Cole to play. I don't expect Jason Peters to play. I do expect Cullen Jenkins to play. Jarrad Page, not sure if he'll play, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jarrad Page is replaced in the lineup anyway by Kurt Coleman. We'll find out, you know, what Andy Reid and what Juan Castillo and the coaching staff wants to do at the safety position. Clearly, the safeties have to get a lot better. Richard in Riverside, California, joins us. Hey, Richard.
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you, man?
I'm going.
Yeah, I hear you.
Going. Yeah, no, you know what? It's just that linebackers, man. It's that linebacker status. You know what? Honestly, I'm not as worried as I was week two. I'm not gonna lie.
You're feeling better about it. You're not as worried, or you are as worried?
No, I'm not as worried. I'm feeling more. No, I'm just playing. I really think, dude, that, you know, Castillo, man, he's got a big role. I know it's a big role. It's a really big difference from, you know, that offensive line coordinator to defensive coordinator. But, man, dude, it's like, you know, it's the same thing every week. He comes out and says, you know.
Well, here's what bothers me. You come out and there's immediately a big run or immediately a big play. And
that's exactly what they hit. That's what they hit. And with that wide nine, you know, I'm not saying that's not. It's not going to work for us, you know. I mean, you see teams doing it, you know, Green Bay's doing it, but we're not there yet, though. You see what I'm saying?
Well, they have no choice. They better be there this week, or else major
it's
problems.
All that.
Major problems. Give me a reason. Give me a reason, though. Why do you think? What change would you make? What change would you make defensively, scheme wise?
Oh man, it's just. I mean, the wide nine. I think that takes time gelling into, okay? You can't just go into that. You know what I mean? We have, you know, everything we changed this offseason with the defense. You can't just put everybody say, you know, we're just going to do wide nine. You know why? Because Green Bay is, you know, dominating with it. No, we're not the Packers, man.
But they're there. But that's what they have. I mean, you can't change. That's a dramatic change.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But, like, man, like, you know, even with the lockout, messed up a lot, dude, because, you know, they couldn't, you know what I mean? I understand that, but, man.
Well, I can't look back.
Like you said, they're hitting us with that big run first play. Let's just kick them down. Let's just see where they're
at. I'm going to tell you, my change, I think I'd probably bring somebody down in the box and.
Yeah, you know, but Paige last week, oh, my God, how many tackles did this guy miss,
That's not the scheme, though, okay? So he's got Juan in those instances, and I thought. There were several times where Juan had guys in the right position, but you can't miss tackles. Clearly,
you can't, and then that's the thing. Like you said, you know, you can't. Hey, you can't wear pads during practice, right? Is that what you're telling me?
You can only wear 14 days of pads. Nobody in the league, though. Nobody, and I think they do wear pads on Wednesdays. But they don't. You cannot bring somebody to the ground. I mean, you're risking.
Yeah, they're not hitting. So man, it's difficult. You mean I see Paige, I see Allen, man.
I know he came from last year, now he's doing better, but, dude, I mean, there's just...
I know.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I have confidence in my team. I'm not going to lie. Hey, even without it, hey, real men wear green, dude. And that's where
I like that.
Stand, no
I like
matter
that.
What.
Well, give me a I'm score. Prediction. Give me a score, man. Come on. Don't be shy.
24-14, Eagles. I'm not going to go big. I don't know why everybody keeps going big, man. It's not. You can't think like that.
No, I agree.
Reality, man.
Yeah.
Washington.
Washington's got an excellent defense, a great scheme.
Washington is on fire right now, man.
Yeah.
When I hear these big 31 scores, I'm like, what are you talking about? Are you kidding?
I think people still have this idea of what the Eagles in their mind should be. Yeah. And not necessarily what they are.
Realize what it really is right now, man.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Richard. Thank you.
Hey, have a good one.
You got it, man. Thank you too. Instead of guys continuing to project what you think the Eagles should be, just look at what they are. And what they are is a 1-4 team that gives you flashes of greatness and then just moments where you just cannot believe what's going on. It's Eagles Live here, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We've heard from Bobby April. We'll hear from Marty Mornhinweg in just a moment, as well as Juan Castillo, coordinator day here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Gio in Miami, Florida. Gio.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not doing bad. I was here at work, sitting down, listening to a couple of these fans calling in. I want to say that I think the Eagles are going to be fine. It's frustrating watching as a fan. I like what Michael Vick came out and did, because I was trying to tell people about it. As far as everyone jumping on the coaches, at the end of the day, the coaches don't make the plays in the field. You know, the coaches do their job. They coach. It's the player's responsibility to go out there and execute the play.
Well,
but
coaches are responsible. I mean, they are. When Andy Reid bores us at press conferences, he does speak the truth. It is his responsibility and the coaching staff's responsibility to put players in position to make plays. I don't blame a coach when there's a fumble. An interception at times can certainly be blamed on both sides. Defensively, if there's not players in the right position, that's on the coach. If a player misses a tackle, to a degree, that's on a coach too. You got to teach the fundamentals.
Yeah, put players in the field. One thing I will agree that I say, Coach Tom, the play calling in the red zone has been terrible. That's one thing. That's how I feel. I think that, you know, when Ronnie Rant, how do you give somebody a pass, one option on the 1 yard line?
I hated
Cardinals football. They try to pull the guard. The guard got tripped up. Like, that was nonsense.
Hated the call.
But as far as I think what you're saying about the coaches being played, the players got to catch the balls. And like you say, if he's not performing in practice, you don't play him in the games. But to a certain degree, like I said, the coaches could just put the players in position to make plays. At the end of the day, the players get paid to make those plays. And if they don't make them, you know, pull them out. I want to see Jaquan Jarrett. I like Jaquan Jarrett. I'm a big fan of it. I would love to see him on the field. I heard that he's been getting reps. So, you know, I hope he gets a chance. And I hope he goes out there and does his thing. But
it looks to me like, Gio, that Nate Allen will start at one safety spot. Kurt Coleman will start at the other one. And Jaquan Jarrett could be active and see some sort of role. But they are starting to, it seems anyway, accelerate his involvement in practice, his reps, and, you know, trying to get him ready for the games. I mean, second round pick, he hasn't played. A third round pick, Curtis Marsh, he hasn't dressed. I mean, it's a long-term situation. Now, the Eagles felt that they brought in players to man those positions, and certainly at cornerback, they can afford to give Curtis Marsh a chance to develop. They've got a lot of talent in front of him.
I know you're a fan of Asante Samuel, but I was wondering how you feel, because I was a fan of Curtis Marsh as well. You know, I spoke to my brother highly about him. But how would you feel if, you know, because at the end of the day, really the weakness on that defense is the linebackers. Feel the offer for Asante for a linebacker, have Nnamdi and Dominic Rogers on the outside, you know, bring them down to press, because they're both physical corners. They're tall, long range, have long arms, they can get their hands on the receivers. And, you know, like I said, try to get a good linebacker or a decent linebacker for Asante and have Curtis or Yoselio come into that nickel spot.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm not trading Asante Samuel. And we talked about this in the preseason. If I would never say no to a great offer that would make my team better now. I love Asante Samuel. I think he's a big playmaker. I don't underestimate. This team needs takeaways. This team needs playmakers, and that's what Asante is. At the same time, I don't want to see off coverage anymore. I don't want to see quick hitches and screen passes.
Off to 60 yards.
Yeah, I don't want him going for 8 yards unless it's third and 15.
Yeah.
I don't want to just give big real estate. Teams are having too much success on first down and setting up third and short, and then the Eagles are in deep trouble. So and it's kind of a mentality. I just want to sell it to the defense. Be more aggressive. Get up to the line of scrimmage. Let's challenge these receivers. Give me a quick score before Marty goes up.
The man before me called. He said he doesn't think going big, but I got to go big, man. I said, go big or go home. But I would like to get 35-21 big. I would like to.
Thank you very much. All right, here's Marty.
Have a good day, Dave.
All right.
We take care of the ball, and we'll do a little bit better. It's just that simple. And we talked about it last week, and so we're continuously emphasizing players, coaches, and try to get better that way. This game is a heck of a challenge. This defense is very good on film. They're ranked high in most every category, including third downs. They're number one. They've retooled their front just a little bit personnel-wise, very aggressive, heck of a scheme. Some of the things are quite unique. Only a handful of teams do some of these things. So our preparation will be key. We'll open up to questions.
I don't want to oversimplify this, but can turnovers be a result of players pressing?
It sure can. Did I interrupt you?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it sure can. I'm not sure that's the case here. So I do know this, and I've had some experiences. So you emphasize it, reemphasize it, and the our players now are very proud people, you know, proud men. They want to take care of the football. Let's get that straight. They want to take care of the football. So we'll just keep emphasizing it, players to players, coaches to players. So. And we'll get better. You get better emphasizing it. And we've done some drills, you know, ball security drills and so forth. But so that's where we're at. We take care of the ball. We'll be in much better shape. That's pretty obvious and pretty simple.
You tell them not to try to want to do too much. Like you talked about the pride. Try not to win every game with one play.
Well, look, I'm not going to get into the specific details of what we talk about. However, run the play, you know, and there might have been a couple, but that's not the problem, trying to do too much. I don't think, you know, they've come in different scenarios. So, next question.
This offense is, you want it to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Can you do that and take care of the ball?
Yeah, absolutely. You've seen it in the past. Taking care of the ball is a conscious mindset in every way. And it's just that simple. And I do know this. Emphasize it. It's crystal clear. Typically, that part of it gets better, and the aggressiveness part, you know, the natural instinct is to kind of and become very conservative, and that's the wrong approach, I think, normally.
Does it have to be the extreme? For example, though, if you're struggling with turnovers, could you dial it down to a little bit of a notch until your guys get a little bit more comfortable and get their rhythm?
Well, if you look at the turnovers, these were not plays where we're taking big risks.
No. Then he turns around and got two guys in his face and gets popped up.
No, heck, we do that all the time. Come on. Come on. You know. Heck, you look it. Look, you know. Emphasize it. Drill it. And typically it'll get better.
Hey, Martin, since T. Smith had that ball go through his hands, intercepted, we haven't really seen much of him in targets or snaps. Something with the knee, or is it just not finding plays?
No, he's. We've got specific plays in the game plan for him, and so, yeah, we're. And that was the plan to work him in a little bit. It has nothing to do with the tip ball interception. What's that?
It was only three snaps last week. Yeah. Well, that was. Is that just the way it turned out?
Yeah, you know, every game will be different for some of our skill guys. Yeah.
Marty, you were mentioning some of the stuff that Washington does unusual. Can you name some?
Well, they cut to you, and they blitz and cut and trap you, and, you know, they do more of it than some teams. There's a handful that do it. They tend to do it a little bit more now, this year. They're very aggressive with it. I believe they're second in sacks, so they can do some of those things in the back end. They're very good all around. They've got, you know, their linebacker, Fletcher, he's, I believe, 14 years, and he's playing like he's his fourth year, you know, and so they've got great skill, ability, and in many cases, experience on that football team. They've got a great pass rusher, Rapko, on the left side. They number 30 is just a heck of a ball player. You've got to know where he is every play. So they've got some, and the rest of the pass rushers are very good, too. They've got quite a crew there, and they're playing at a high level.
Or do you see defenses evolving their game plans as Mike's sort of reincarnation of his career gets a little deeper into it here?
Yeah. Well, that's normally the case with a really good quarterback. You know, going back, and I've been fortunate to coach a lot of great ones, and rarely do you see what they've done the last four or five games. I mean, it's a new plan for you, and that has happened this year. Not every game. There's been two games where I thought it was similar. There's been three games where very dissimilar. It was a whole new type of plan. Defenses are getting more into individual game plans as well, specifically for the upcoming team. Defenses are doing just a little bit more as well. Yep.
In your opinion, what is the difference in Mike now and, let's say, you know, this time last year? He's had a ton of turnovers, especially.
Yeah. We, Mike and I have discussed that, and you know, and coming back from a game like he had Sunday, you know, and how you go about your business that way. The differences between last year and this year. He's typically, in his career, has been very good in the pass game, taking care of the ball. So we'll get back to a certain mentality, first of all. That's first. Second, sometimes it's a little bit cyclic, you know. There's been several crazy things happen, you know, during the year, and balls tipped up and these type of things. So, but he's very conscious of it. And I think somebody mentioned it here, that real fine line of staying real aggressive, and taking care of the ball, and there's a real fine line there that the great ones understand. And look at that team has been, they made a living off of some tip balls. You know, they had the week before they had four interceptions with several tip balls, and so. We've got to do better there. There's no question about it. And with the way we're playing, here's the way that we discussed it just a little bit. Look, most of our offense is dynamite, and we are running and gunning. And our bad plays aren't the quarterback having to throw it away or taking a sack or, you know, plus zero or minus three. Our bad plays are turnovers. And that can't happen to win games. There are certain things that you have to do to win games. There are certain things that you can't do in a ball game, or you're not going to win it. It's that simple. And so, you know, this is two or three weeks in a row we've been talking about it. And so, trust me, you know how I feel about it. I'm sure you guys have your own thought. Imagine how the players, I'm telling you, very proud men. They want to get this thing straight. So. That's where we're at.
Even though personnel changes,
Is there a carryover when you meet teams in the NFC East every year? Last year when you played down there, you had your greatest offensive game ever. Do you think they expect certain things to be the same?
Well, we, you know, we're individual game plan system. It'll be different. Our plan will be different. And there's a lot of different factors that go into it. Most defenses are much different from one game to another in a two-game series. Much different, typically. Not always, but normally it'll be much different on their side as well as our side.
In general, I mean, how much when a defense creates confusion does that lead to turnovers, or can that create turnovers?
Oh, sure, yeah, sure. However, I don't think that's been our case, you know, but absolutely. And they've been doing a heck of a job of it. I believe they're tied for the lead in forced fumbles, you know. So, any other questions?
How did you think Danny Watkins played last week?
He's coming, baby. Did a good job. And he'll just keep getting better. I think that choice that was made to pull him back and learn and get with Howard for hours and hours and hours on the field and in the classroom, and then the choice to play him at last week, I think both those choices were excellent. I think it worked just beautifully. And now he's going to get better every day and every week. You know, and there'll be a time where he takes a step back to get forward and those type of things. But I think he's going to end up being a fine football player. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, that part's simple. He's doing some very important things for us in line. Now, I'll tell you, last game there was probably four. Maybe five that I called specifically for him. They manned him up, and Mike went elsewhere, and it was a good choice by Mike. And it was just a little bit different coverage. And, you know, Buffalo played us much differently. You know, that question came up, and we typically see that. So the quarterback typically will take care of those things. And so that it'll happen for Brent. For tight end and with some of the things that we have to do right now, some games he'll show up in the pass game, some games he won't. I would like to use him a little bit more though. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Well, that is Marty Morningwig, Eagles offensive coordinator, and emphasizing a theme that we have been really listening to here for the last couple of weeks, and that is ball security, taking care of the football. Eagles can't afford to keep missing out on scoring opportunities because of all these turnovers. And how do you make that better? Well, it's incumbent upon the players, and the coaches have been emphasizing it, and the Eagles simply have to be aware that teams are now certainly going to look to rip the football out of their hands and go for the strip. So let's go take a quick phone call before we get to Juan Castillo. Mike in Germany joins us. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm fine, Mike. How are you this evening? Or whatever it is there.
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I'm doing good.
You must be frustrated like we all are here.
Yeah, I am. But I think I got a solution. If I'm the coach, and this is probably why, you know, a lot of players, I guess, wouldn't like me, but if I'm the coach, Dave, and like the players are saying, they want to be held accountable, don't hold the coaches accountable, but hold the players accountable, then we hold them accountable. They want to get paid, you know, like superstars that they are, you know, so I'm going to pay you to make plays. If you don't make plays, then I'm going to take your money. You fumble the ball, $200, $500.
Yeah, whatever. I don't think you're allowed to do that under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement. However, you can certainly cut players. Okay,
yeah,
so
I want to cut them.
Well, but, you know, but I mean, do you set an example? I mean, look, if the Eagles win this game, then it's a whole different attitude going into the bye week. If the Eagles, well, I don't even want to think about it. But if the Eagles have to win this game, or it's just going to be dramatically crazy.
You're right. You're right. I think it's 27-24.
Yeah, 27-24. I'll take that. I don't think I want that kind of drama, but
I don't. But I think any kind of win that we can get, Dave, are definitely, like you said, going into the bye week, would definitely help us out.
Yeah, it's been very rough to watch this team these last 4 weeks. No question.
Yeah, it's been rough going to work, Dave.
I hear you. I hear you. Are there now? Give me the scene. What will you be doing on Sunday watching this game in Germany?
What will I be doing? Pretty much probably biting my nails.
Yeah. Will you be watching with
that,
Eagles?
No, I'm still going to be with my Eagles faithful over here, and we're still going to watch the game. Like I said, we're diehard fans, so we win or lose with the team.
Love it.
You know, so however the team goes, you know, we go, but you know, we're still supporting the team regardless.
Appreciate it.
And that's how it's going to be always.
Oh, I appreciate that. We appreciate that. And Mike, have a great day, and thanks for calling from Germany.
All right, no problem, Dave.
All right, my man. Thank you so much. Eagles Live, the name of the show here. Dave Spadaro with you. We are broadcasting every day here at 11 o'clock, right here from the NovaCare Complex. Eagles Nightly each night at 7 o'clock, and now it's time to talk defense. What kind of changes will there be? Let's turn it over to the auditorium right across the hallway, Juan Castillo.
Is it getting difficult or frustrating, you know, to perform your job and to just do it when just all the talk going around outside? Or can you insulate yourself from that?
Well, you know, really, let's see, on Monday night I was working on base and getting prepared for the base run game and base passing game for the Redskins. You know, Tuesday I started working on the nickel. Yesterday we presented the base. Today we presented the nickel. Tonight we work on the red zone. You know, tomorrow we'll get ready, you know, to call the game. So really, you see, there's a schedule. So, you know, I'm just focused on beating the Redskins, getting the guys ready so we can get started on what we need to do.
But you've always been a guy, I mean, ever since you got here, get to work at 4 in the morning, leave, if you leave, you know, sleep over. But for years when you were offensive line coach, your name wasn't in the media, on sports talk, like this all the time. So it's a little bit of an adjustment. How are you just dealing with that?
You know, gosh, you know how I say that you said, well, I'm at 4 and you're working 19, 20 hours? Well, you're working 19, 20 hours. You're not watching TV, you know? We don't really have, I have a TV where I watch the tape, you know, but really I'll go home tonight to say, see my kids, you know, but really, then I'll go to sleep because I got to get back early in the morning. But I really haven't been paying attention to the TV or the radio. I got an iPod, you know, I got some music there that I listen to, you know, that my boy likes. But, you know, so really, you know, I'm focused on one thing that you know, that I have a responsibility to Coach Reed, to Mr. Lurie, and to the city of Philadelphia.
You mentioned the red zone. That is a problem that goes back beyond this year. What is the solution? What do you see?
Well, you know, the thing, Mara, is giving up big plays. You know, have to correct that, you know. Coverages, different coverages, pressure, and then making sure that the guys understand the route concepts that are being presented to them so they can see how we're going to fit that up. Because you see that is really, we're just giving up big plays in the red zone.
ESPN report yesterday that Eric Mangini was offered a consulting job and turned it down, a defensive consulting job, any of that?
Well, you know, yesterday I was just worried that we had a good practice, that we'd have a good practice and make sure that we got our run fits. You know, the Redskins do a great job running the football, and if we can stop the run, you know, we'll have a good chance of winning a football game.
Does that mean you knew about it or not?
Well, that means that I was focused on, you know, I mean, I know Coach Reed would talk, you know, Coach Reed and I talk, you know, that he would come and talk to me. And like I said, I have one responsibility, you know, we take care of all of us. You know, it's like everywhere else. If you take care of your job, you know, you get taken care of.
Has Coach Reed talked to you about bringing in somebody?
No, Coach Reed had not talked to me about anything.
Has he, I mean,
you were offensive line coach for a long time, and like Jeff said, kind of anonymous and everything. Has this transition been more challenging, especially without the offseason, than you anticipated? And I mean, do you ever find yourself kind of wishing you were back with the O-line or anything like that? Or, I mean,
You know, this is a great opportunity. It's still a great opportunity, you know, that we all in our professions that we all want. I think, you know, I think that's why the city, I think, you know, I know they were surprised, but they embraced that. You know, here's somebody that works hard. Here's somebody that's getting an opportunity. Now, that's why we're going to turn it around so those people can have hope, you know, just like you guys have hope that one day you get an opportunity because you worked your butt off, you know, to be able to get an opportunity to lead.
In most cases, with a defensive coordinator, he gets to decide the scheme he's going to run, maybe even get his assistance. Whereas that was in place before you were named defensive coordinator. So do you feel like at all that made it difficult on you that you didn't have that power to kind of exert exactly what you wanted on the defense? Or?
You know what? I hope that this is what they understand about Juan Castillo, anybody, is that I'm a teacher. You know, I coached at a Division II school and had four offensive linemen play in the NFL. Well, when you're a teacher, you teach so that you can teach whatever scheme it is, whatever position it is. You know how to teach it. You know how to break it down. You know how to teach the concepts and get it across. You know, and so.
Were you already familiar with the scheme then? Did you have to learn the wide nine first, or were you?
Well, you know what? There's only a couple of teams that run a wide nine as a base. You know, I think Detroit is the other team. You know, Tennessee used to do it where Jim was. You know, they don't do it anymore. But people do use a nine technique on different downs and situations.
Are you disappointed where the defense is right now after 5 weeks?
Yes. You know, I'm disappointed that we're 1-4. You know.
What is it specifically about the way that your group's played, though?
You know, the thing is that as a defense, you're supposed to win the games, period. It doesn't matter what offense does. It doesn't matter what they do. You know, the defense wins championships. You know, that's what I'm disappointed about right now, that we're going to turn around. You know, we the second half of the Buffalo game was a good start for us. You know, we played good in that fourth quarter when we needed to stop those guys initially until the penalty, we stopped them. And then, so that was a start. You saw that momentum. You saw that feeling that the guys had. And we went out there, and our offense scored. We went out there, stopped them. Then our offense scored again. We went out there and stopped them again. And so those are things that you build on. And, again, you have to understand when you have a plan, it's all about fundamentals. And you say, well, you know, you keep saying that. Well, that's how you get better. Every week, I mean, you guys have had people that you taught and you say, okay, here's what we believe in. You do them, you keep doing them, and every week you get better. And when you look at the tape, you see sometimes it's just the little things that you see them getting better, but you know that all of a sudden, man, it's going to happen. You know, and that's what you believe in, and that's what the players understand, you know. Have a plan, you know. You say, well, you know, right now 1-4, but you know what? We have a plan, all right? In 10 weeks, you know, you'll be saying, man, Juan kept saying he had a plan. You know,
so the wide nine is something that a lot of people have criticized, especially the way teams have been able to run the ball. What makes you why do you stick with it, basically? I mean, why keep running it even after?
Well, it's a good opportunity to pressure the quarterback. You know, we have to make some adjustments that we'll make some adjustments to help. You know, there are some things that you'll see. You know, this week. You know, I can't get into the particulars, but you'll see some adjustments that'll help us.
Have that time though? I mean, you feel like you're kind of running out of time to get it done. If I mean, 10 weeks could be out of the playoff race by then.
Well, you know, really, I'm worried about this afternoon. We have the nickel package, you know, and they do a good job in third down creating mismatches, you know, and then we have short yardage and goal line. So really, I'm gonna take care of today. Then I'm gonna take care of tomorrow night. You know, that's the way we learn. Then I'm gonna take care of tomorrow, and then day by day, and come Sunday, you know, we'll win, and that's the first step. And then you worry about, you know, then that week you go back, evaluate everything, and then you start with the next team, and then you just take it one step at a time.
Your safety position struggling. Why can't Jaquan Jarrett get on the field?
Well, Jaquan is working, you know, this week, and, you know, with the first group. He's working with the first group. Kurt is working with the first group, too, and that's what we're hoping. That's what we're building.
wholesale lineup changes coming this week? And if you did, would there be a point in doing that to shake things up a little bit?
Do you mean, I think...
Any big lineup changes you anticipate seeing this week?
No. I mean, we've already made a little movement at the safety position. You know, we have a couple of guys that are practicing for that, and that's what we're going to go into.
Warren, you've got as much talent at cornerback as probably any team in the league. But there seems to be times when they're still tentative, still uncertain about things they're supposed to be doing, especially when you put a guy like DRC in the slot.
Right.
I mean, do you think this is going to click at some point for these three guys to play as far as playing together?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, DRC's got to get used to that, playing that position, but he's been working on it. You know, you got to try to get those three guys on the field, you know. And DRC, I mean, you know, he likes that position. You know, a lot of times he's man-to-man in there, and he likes to be man-to-man. So that's the thing, and he'll get better every week with it.
All right, that is Juan Castillo, and I guess the newsworthy note there is that Kurt Coleman and Jaquan Jarrett working as starters alongside Nate Allen at the safety positions. I will see how it goes. I guess my inclination would be to believe that Kurt Coleman would be the starter, but it is encouraging to hear that Jaquan Jarrett, second-round draft pick from Temple University, is getting reps in practice and accelerating his progress. So we'll see what kind of adjustments the Eagles make. Juan, very aware that the Redskins run the football effectively. So that is the first order of business for this Eagles defense. Dave Spadaro with you. We'll take some phone calls. We'll go into the locker room. Adam Kaplan joining us as well. Lots to come here on Eagles Live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're coming right back.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Whatever it takes for this team to win. So right now, JJ and I, you know, we're getting looks on defense. But bottom line is we got to go out there and perform on all sides of the ball and just carry out our job. So right now I'm getting some reps in, and you know, I'm trying to take care of business.
Did you feel your opportunity would come again?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just got to give it time. You know, and I just got to keep plugging away, working hard, and I think good things will come my way.
Did you think you should have been replaced in the first place?
That's not my call. You know, that's up for the coaches. You know, I go out here every day and I just work hard. And, you know, they got to put whatever they feel is the right decision to get us wins. And, you know, bottom line is I don't care who's in there. I always want to win.
You're not one of the guys who
slacks off or anything. I mean, do you feel like when they did that, that they were trying to send a message to you or anything like that?
No. I think, you know, right now we're just trying to plug in the pieces and get things right. You know, and JP got injured, so I think they're just trying to, you know, make the best decisions, and, you know, this is it right now.
You talked about the Victor Cruz play and a tackle that you missed on that one. You've talked about that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you played every other play? You know, if you look at the way you played the first time, you feel like you basically were out there doing what you could do?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change a thing if that's what you're asking. Yeah. I mean, I play hard. You know, I always play every play like it's my last. So, you know, I did miss the tackle, and but I, you know, I gave it my all. So I would leave nothing out there.
Do you expect to start?
Do I expect to? You know, I'll leave that for the coaches. That's I'll leave that to them. We'll see.
I mean, usually the guy who gets the most reps at one place in practice is the guy.
We'll see.
Do you think the secondary needs some stability? It's been a lot of guys for various reasons, a lot mainly injuries, but guys have been kind of coming and going. There hasn't been a lot of stability, consistency.
Well, you want to build that continuity. I mean, especially on the back end where there's a lot of calls being made, a lot of things coverage wise, and you want to know where that next guy's going to be. So yes, to that answer, you want to have that continuity and that consistency back there.
So let's say you were to go in for Jared on Sunday, the position would be different than what you were before, but, I mean, they are interchangeable.
I know both positions, yeah. So that's not a question.
How much difference is there between those two positions?
I mean, obviously.
Very little.
I mean, it depends what you're doing, but there's difference as far as, you know, playing things. But, I mean, I played both of them last year. I played them both this year. It's nothing new.
Where do you feel more comfortable, more natural?
Wherever I'm playing.
Kurt, you're not the only football player to ever miss a tackle, and not the only Eagle to miss a tackle. How do guys work on that, though? I mean, it's something you've been doing for so long. How do you improve at that?
You know, I think you just – I always say that, you know, you got to have the will to tackle. You know, you got to want to tackle. And, you know, they're NFL players, you know. They're good, too. They're Pro Bowlers. So you can't make every tackle, but you got to want to try to make every tackle, and I think that's what makes it.
We welcome you to the studio. Dave Spadaro here, joined by our pro football expert, Mr. Adam Kaplan, Sirius XM NFL Radio. And we have you here every week. Adam, we didn't have you here last week, though. But we've talked about this football team, how the expectations were here. And now you're looking at a 1-4 football team. What's your perspective on what's gone wrong? And can the Eagles turn it around, basically? Can the Eagles win this football game this weekend?
Right. My feeling early on, Dave, was very simple. I didn't know what the record would be, but I thought it would be very difficult to think this team was going to get off to a great start, considering all the personnel changes they had, Dave. I mean, and coaching changes and doing a lockout. I mean, I didn't know what the record would be, but I knew it would be difficult, and that's kind of what we've seen so far.
The Eagles have an offense that just is like this, up and down the field, explosive plays, great skill position people, very difficult to stop, and yet they turn the football over 15 times. The red zone's still not there. Can you correct it?
Well, you know what I'd like to see, though? And I'd like to see them actually get off to a better start offensively.
Yeah, no points scored in the first drive this year.
Very unusual. Why are we talking about that? I mean, we're talking about offense is. Yeah, but hang on. We talk about how great they are at coming back. How about getting off to a good start, getting a lead?
Adam, they've blown 3 fourth-quarter leads.
No, I know, but a lead.
Well, they had a lead.
The first quarter. We can talk about
what's going on.
It's another issue, but the bottom line is every week, turnovers. I've never seen anything like this. Some people are saying
it's cyclic.
Use a term we've heard from one person specifically for the last couple of years. And
I really believe
But how's
that.
It cyclic?
There's some sort of weird chemistry going on offensively.
All right.
I can't explain all the interceptions. I can't explain all the fumbles, but turnovers tend to come in bunches. Those bunches don't necessarily last for an entire season.
No, because they're being coached. I mean, everybody knows that the players are being coached up, and that's not the issue. It's the deflect passes. It's Vic right here looking one way, going the other, and the guy's right in his face. I mean, remember, we're seeing the replay. When you're the quarterback, you don't have time to think. You just go with what the play's drawn up. I mean, you know, and then it's a missed block here and it's a missed block there, and then the quarterback gets hit. Now, I will tell you this, and this is something I'm harping on. The only issue Vic has right now, and it's clear as day if you're actually reviewing the plays, four and a half seconds of balls coming out. That can't happen. It's got to be three and a half. It's that 1 second where Vic's getting hit.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's clear as day, and this is something that I really believe in. This is the first thing I learned covering the league, talking about quarterback coaches. Someone in out in 3 seconds, someone in three and a half. It's 3.5 on 7-step.
Was Vic quicker with the ball last year?
It varied from game
or
to game.
Is that
no,
just
but
what
here's
he is.
What I like. Here's what I like more this year. He's actually laying the plays developed instead of running all the time. But the other problem is he's not throwing the guy open. That's the part about having a lockout and not having to be able to work on it. You're not going to solve that right now. But I love this. I love that guys are getting open. He's seeing it, and he is delivering it. But it's got to be a little quicker. And that's the next phase in his game. And you know what I love in his press conferences? No matter how many points they put up or what the stats are, it still bothers him. And that shows you the difference between Michael Vick now and then when he was in Atlanta, when he clearly didn't care.
Let's stay with the offense here for a moment. The offensive line goes into this one again with King Dunlap at left tackle, with Danny Watkins at right guard. How's that matchup against a really good Redskins front seven?
Let's first point out King Dunlap, and I watched this specifically because I knew it would be an issue against Buffalo. They play a 3-4. Now, I didn't chart how many plays they helped Dunlap on. He played, I would argue that he played better this game than he did against Atlanta last year, where he played very well, but they seemed to help him more. Danny Watkins, uneven. I like the physicality of it.
Do you see it, though? Do you
see
the
thing that I
love? The upside there?
Yes. He finishes off his blocks. Sometimes he just doesn't know where he's going because he hasn't played yet. I mean, this is the first time he played, and he was trying to feel his way. I thought there were some mental errors there. I thought Kelsey had a very good game. Kelsey will have two or three.
Kelsey had a very good game, but yet everybody thinks he didn't have a very good game.
Here's the problem.
Because Peter King pointed out the one mistake on the blitz.
And I put this on Twitter. Somebody asked me that specific question. I said, you know what? I don't look at one play. I look at the entire game. You could find five or six plays where Kelsey didn't do the right thing. How about 60 plays?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do when I look at plays, and I'll write them down. I go, okay, he should have done this better, should have done that better. But I also point out the good plays. Watkins is the one I thought, I don't say he held them back. He just was trying to get his timing. But having Harriman's next to him, I think that's kind of what you're looking for. So I think he'll be better. But this is an unbelievable test against Washington. Jim Haslett is no different than he was with Pittsburgh, with St. Louis, with New Orleans. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the score is. They blitz, and they blitz, and they blitz. Mentally, guys have to be right. Protections have to be right. And I'm telling you, I expect Brent Celek to be, when he's on the field, 35 to 40 plays as an inline tight end.
Sure, sure.
You've got a chip.
And you better engage defensive linemen, no tipped passes. You've got a 6-foot quarterback here.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're coming in with their hands up, expecting the ball to come out quickly.
You got
to
be physical, and Arakpo is unbelievable. You can't find a better 3-4 outside linebacker right now. Dunlop had his way against Merriman. Let's give him that credit. It's completely different because Arakpo is relentless. He has moves. He's fast. He's physical.
So what's your game plan offensively?
I think that we just talked about it. You got to block big time against the pass.
Throwing the ball?
Screens, because they all get upfield. They're outside. They're sending six. Seven. Not eight a lot, but seven all the time. And I'm telling you right now, screens will work against this defense. The Rams couldn't do it because the Rams' offensive line got destroyed. Arakpo destroyed Roger Saffold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was embarrassing. You'll see a play in our film room segment whenever Sam runs it. Sam Hallowell, our executive producer, does a great job. I want to give him a shout out. It's probably either Friday or Saturday. I don't know. Whenever they run the defense, we show this play where he destroys Jason Brown. And the thing is, his diagnosis of the play is unbelievable. You got to stop him. Now, if you stop that rush, that pass rush, you've got a chance. I like screens. Get the screen game. We seem to say this every week. What has happened to this?
Well, they tried the screen right there. It was intercepted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but
they've thrown a couple. It's not
like last year, man.
They're pushing the football down the field, too. I mean, I really can't complain that much about the offense.
No, but I'm looking
except
for big
for
plays
and turnovers.
In different ways because you can't just depend on the bomb.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Now, remember the first game against Washington last year. First game against Washington last year, they played a ton of two deep. Eagles didn't adjust to it. Second game, they didn't play as much two deep. The Eagles, from the outset of that game, you saw the first play at Washington. We were both there. They went bombs away. They destroyed Washington. It was unbelievable. Now, you just alluded to the crossers. Look what Buffalo did against them. Use the same plays against Washington.
Yeah.
that they did against the Eagles defense.
Adam, let's talk about the Eagles defense then.
Macklin has been unbelievable, by the way.
Very good player.
Yeah.
What adjustments will Juan make? I don't really read into anything that he says in the press conference.
Forget that.
What are they going to do? It is so obvious that
I'm gonna tell you.
Washington runs the football.
They run a zone scheme, okay? Mike Shanahan has brought that with his son Kyle, okay? They're doing the same stuff they did in Denver, same stuff that Kyle did in Houston when he was the OC there. Ryan Terrain expected him to be the main ball carrier.
Is Hightower healthy?
With the shoulder, he'll play with it. And I'm telling you, he's one of the best chipping backs in the league. He'll play mostly in passing and a little bit in short yardage. Terrain was a third back against St. Louis, came in the middle of the second quarter, was the back to finish the game at well over 100 yards. He was phenomenal. He is big. He is physical. You saw what he did against the Eagles in the first game here last year. He's downhill. He's very decisive with his zone cuts. The linebackers, I'm telling you right now, they were terrible at setting the edge against Buffalo. If they set the edge this game, Ryan Terrain doesn't have the speed.
Mm-hmm.
Set the edge on the zone cut. You've got to do that. And as you'll see in our film piece, Greg Cosell points out, inside zone and outside zone. I don't want to give it away, but you got to watch this. Because what the fans will see when they see the film room piece, they'll be looking for this. Because I will now that I've seen it with Greg. I'll watch it on Sunday. You've got to make Terrain do what he doesn't want to do. When you blow
and
up,
what's that stretch that cut, him out? Stretch him out to the edge.
Yes, that's the outside zone. When you do the outside zone stretch, if you blow up the initial, the play is dead. They have no chance to.
So you're blowing up the initial by sending somebody to blow up the initial.
You have to, and the D tackles get. Yes, I'd love to see Jarrett when he plays. And
so you're sending Jarrett because he's a bigger, physical guy. That's his job.
Let's get into that. Go send him
and blow up the
if he plays, wouldn't you do that?
I wouldn't send Kurt Coleman.
No, but
he's not blowing up.
Jarrett was known for A, tackling, B, as a missile. Do it. Send him in there.
Do you expect the Eagles to play tighter eight-man boxes, cornerbacks up? Don't give them the screen. Let's look at this play from last week, Ryan, that we've been showing all week. First and 15 for the Bills.
Okay.
This play drives me crazy, Adam. You can maybe help me break it down.
Sure.
The Bills are at their own 5-yard line, first and 15. Now, the cornerbacks top of the screen are up at the line of scrimmage. Asante 7 yards off.
Nickel. The Eagles are going nickel.
Okay.
Here.
No problem. So, quick drop. Naaman Roosevelt, who's had one catch,
he
in
just
the bottom
got signed
of the
off the practice squad.
All right. So Asante goes to the tight end. Because Fitzgerald, and then Fitzgerald looks at the tight end Chandler, and then goes into Roosevelt.
They got exactly. See, that's
why would you give? And then he bounces off Jared Page.
Chandler cleared out. That's
his
job.
Why would you give Naaman Roosevelt a 7-yard cushion? Why not? Tell me why, from a schematic football standpoint, you cannot play your cornerbacks up at the line of scrimmage a lot.
I've said this a lot with Asante. He plays well one way. That's 10 yards off.
You're telling me he cannot play at the line of scrimmage?
I've seen him play closer. They don't do it. They don't do it. It's weird because if you're watching the tape, they'll have Nnamdi last week was up quite a bit, and Asante's off. So we said it on the –
So throw it to the guy who's off.
Bo Wilf and I talked about this on the postgame show last week. How many times did they throw that quick slant? It destroyed – always out of Samuel. Okay? And they also got – Rodgers Cromartie. Every single time, Rodgers Cromartie is not comfortable in the slot. It's obvious. It's not that he's not trying. I know that people are knocking his effort. He's not comfortable. It is what it is. I don't know what they can do to make him feel better. He just has to keep doing it.
You can change personnel.
Well, okay, then put Hanson. I was just going to get to that. Put Hanson in there. But you know what? It's not about ego anymore. It's about getting better. And you're right to bring that up. They
on this
do
play,
that.
Look at the back of that play.
Yeah.
Look at now, Rodgers Cromartie is in against the slot receiver. He is 7 yards off, 6 yards off.
But you could close.
But he doesn't close.
He
look
doesn't
at the play.
I know. He doesn't close.
The throw goes out to the inside cover.
Dave, I'm
look,
telling you. Watch this.
Back,
quick slant.
And
he backed off.
Close.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the problem.
Look at him.
It, you know what? This is what bothers me. They were throwing slants from the beginning of the game, and what – I hate to bring this term, but what adjustments were made?
Well, there was some sort of an adjustment in the second half. The defense played better football.
I understand that, but Dave, they killed them on slants. They still got them. See, the Bills, for whatever reason, and we talked about this in the postgame show as well, the Bills went off of their run game. They were killing the Eagles. On everything was outside. Did you notice – Here's what we noticed.
Yeah, they let the defensive end up the field.
They
sealed
them.
They didn't seal the edge.
They didn't seal the edge.
The Bills seal the inside.
Right.
And there's a huge hole to run through.
The DNs did not set the edge, and the linebackers did not diagnose. And now the film, they saw the film. You got to get better with it.
With all of this misery, Adam, the NFC East is wide open. The Giants lose to Seattle at home last week,
which is unbelievable.
The Cowboys are 2-2 coming off a terrible loss against Detroit. They go to New England.
Right.
A win against the Redskins puts the Eagles right back
right
in
there,
it.
And you go into the bye feeling really good about yourself.
With the Cowboys and the Bears coming to town.
Sure.
Give me some hope.
I have hope. I am picking the Redskins. I will tell you that. Now, I'm hoping for Eagle fans. I don't care who wins.
Fine with me. Slam dunk.
I just
want to
see.
You just heard it here. Eagles win.
I just want to see good football. I want to see.
I just want to see an Eagles win. Well, I don't care if it's good, bad, otherwise.
Hopefully for the Eagles' sake, it's the Costanza theory. I'm picking the Redskins, and hopefully the exact opposite of everything I'm saying happens.
Yeah.
And they set the edge. They play. It's similar to what we talked about with Alex Smith, and we saw it in the first half against the 49ers. If you make Rex Grossman win the game, the chances of your defense winning goes way up, and your chance of winning go way up. Now, I can't tell you what happened to the Eagles in the second half against Alex Smith. He played pretty well. But I will tell you, I did see some good things, as you mentioned, in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Eagles took over defensively. You just wish they could actually come close to doing it in the first half, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Adam Kaplan, we thank you so much for joining us in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Hopefully, I haven't even talked about this. We'll see you on Sunday. Here in the studio.
Well, I have not. Okay.
Yeah, is that a yes?
Yeah, of course.
All right, good stuff. Adam Kaplan, thanks for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shifts the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you need it. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico. We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. Eagles Live, the name of the show. Let's go to the telephones, go to Florida, and talk to Fat Mac. Hey, Fatty.
What's happening, Dave? A little down in the dumps, baby.
No, don't be down in the dumps. It's Thursday. It's time to get ready for the Redskins.
Yeah, I'm ready. I think we're going to do all right with this. But I just want to talk about a couple things I've seen at the end of the game against Buffalo.
Okay.
Like how it seemed like they let Asamoah do what he usually like to do with man coverage, and Dominique, he did a little bit more man too. But them playing Asante off like that, just like giving up them slants like that, that's what's bothering me a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I mean, we're going to find out on Sunday. Now, my thing is I also don't want Asante biting on the slants and then go. I want guys up at the line of scrimmage. That's just me. I just want to create a different mentality. I think what my hope is that it's the mentality here that it becomes a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more, you know, at least – and you're going to get beat, and I know that. But my gosh, they're giving up huge plays already.
But Asante, he just can't. He can't play man cover. He can't. I've seen it. I want to say against when we played 49ers, and they tried to bubble him a couple times, and it seemed like the man was pushing him off 5 yards.
You can't let that happen.
I don't think he's physical enough.
But if you have a pass rush, the longer you let the quarterback hold the football, the better off you are. I mean, if you can at least challenge in coverage, you're asking a guy not only to make you're asking him to make an accurate throw. You're asking a receiver to make a catch in coverage. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of grasping at straws here. I know it's not what Asante has done in his career. I know it's not his strength. But you know, we all have to make some sacrifices here. And the sacrifice is, I need Asante Samuel up at the line of scrimmage with everyone else to stop the run.
I don't think he can do it.
He's an NFL Pro Bowl cornerback. He can't press cover.
Some people can. I mean, I would like to see, Nasimwar at the right. I mean, at the left, Dominique at the right, and Ocelio Harrison at the slot.
And so you want Asante Samuel on the bench?
Kind of sort of.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, but I do want a more aggressive approach to the defense.
Why you wouldn't agree with that?
Because I think Asante's a terrific player. Now,
yeah, not for what we're trying to do.
But I don't know that that's what the Eagles are trying to do. That's what you and I are trying to do. We're not coaches. It may be fine with Juan that Asante is playing 7 yards off the line of scrimmage. If Juan is asking Asante to play up at the line of scrimmage and he's not, well, then there's a big problem. But I don't know if he's asking him to do that.
I'm just going by what the formation, because every time they bring him up to the line, he's getting beat. Either way, he's getting beat when they set him off.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's true. The Eagles really haven't given up a lot to wide receivers down the field. I mean, it's all been nickel and dime
really
stuff.
They're not really throwing at Nasimwar. Maybe he got beat a few times out of 5 games.
I mean, what they do is they throw to tight ends and running backs. It's insane. Hey, give me a prediction for the game.
I like Philadelphia on a blowout. I'd say 31-13.
31-13. Okay. We thank you very much for the call, Fat Mac, and we'll see what happens with the Eagles here. And
I appreciate everything you do, Dan. Keep it up, brother.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for the call. I don't know what the strategy is going to be. I just know the Eagles' defense has to tackle better. They've got to be more aggressive. They got to stop the run this week, boy, because I just can't. I mean, certainly the Redskins could come out and throw the ball around and surprise us all. I guess I'd tell you that would be very, very shocking. Gary in Florida. Hey, Gary, good afternoon.
Hey, you know, I love your show.
Thanks.
It always gives me something, you know, that I get out of my chair and I'm saying no. Okay. You know, Asante Samuel, he is a great player, but he's one-dimensional. It's like a vacation for a receiver to line up because he's not going to get a hit. When you make it physical at the line of scrimmage, now you're wearing the guy down. Every play, you got to make it tough for him to get off the line. You know, maybe not every play, of course, but, geez, it'd be nice to give these guys a chip off the line a little bit, you know?
Look, I think that you can certainly say, well, Asante's an off cover or Dominique's an off cover.
Wait. I think he's off cover. What's that? I think that's prima donna. That's what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I'm not here if I'm the coach. Again, I'm just like you. I just want the Eagles to win. I look at a defense that gives up too many easy underneath routes and too many catches, relying on tackling that's just not there.
Showed that little bit of prima donna there when he didn't finish that tackle like it was right in front of him.
I don't want to criticize any players here. I just want to do this.
All right.
I don't care who makes the tackle, who makes the play, who's the coach. I don't care about anything. I just want to win. So my goal here is not to make a player look good. My goal is to win a football game. And if that means that I got to ask a player to make a sacrifice, okay, then make the sacrifice. And if you don't want to make the sacrifice, then I don't want you on the field. Now, that is for every single player. And maybe I ask Jeremy Maclin to run crossing routes. This is just an example. And yeah. Jeremy says, well, but you know, I run vertical routes better. Well, in this game, Jeremy, I need you to run crossing routes.
Right.
And Jeremy Macklin's going to say, okay, coach, whatever you need. Whatever you need for me to win. So that is the mentality that every single player has to have, or else they really don't want to win. I don't give a crap about your stats. I don't give a crap about you going to the Pro Bowl. I don't give a damn about anything except beating the Washington Redskins. So if Juan is okay with players playing off and doing what they're doing, and hey, then that's what, and I got to believe that's the case. I mean, a player's not going to say, no, I'm not going to go up. But I'm just, look, my thing is, when I watch, I just see a lot of catches underneath and a lot of missed tackles. So why not go challenge them? These are supposed to be great cornerbacks.
Hey,
it just makes some sort of sense to me.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. So let's see what they do. Now, I hope that the momentum that they, what we didn't hear from Juan is nobody said, well, what adjustments did you make on Sunday? What happened Sunday? Why did the defense improve on Sunday after the Bills had their lead? Did the Bills stop running their plays that they had been running? Did the Eagles make some adjustment? Was it simply a matter of intensity?
Yeah, a little bit of everything there.
Okay, well, maybe the Eagles better bring their damn intensity to the game at the start of the game. Or maybe they need to change the scheme. Whatever they did, you better play that way the rest of the season. It's not just this game.
You know who's going to win Sunday?
The team,
guy who wants it more.
That's generally the way it is in the NFL, okay? It's coaching. It's the team that's more desperate, because the talent, while there is a difference, the talent is always pretty darn good in the NFL. All of these players are great football players.
Everybody's trying to win.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to find out. The Eagles are not happy to be 1-4. The fans are not happy with the Eagles being 1-4. It's been an unpleasant week here. So let's go out and win a football game, and then let's regroup during the bye week, and then let's keep the momentum going.
But the only thing that matters. I put my money on the Birds this week, definitely.
I saw your pick was 36-16. You put it up big time, Gary.
Hey, right. I'm mad.
I'm mad too.
You know what?
I don't like to sit here and all day, every day, hear questions about why the Eagles aren't doing this, why the Eagles aren't doing that, why the Eagles bring in this player, why did they bring in that player, how could they play with these linebackers, ba, 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 ba.
Dave,
yeah.
You got to watch your blood pressure, because we want to have you around.
Yeah. Then win on Sunday.
All right.
Dave, thanks for taking
my call.
You got it, man. All right, Cullen Jenkins, one of the leaders of this football team. Of course, he has a perspective on things, and he has got a little injury we're talking about here, but I think he's going to play on Sunday. That is the word from the coaching staff. He has become the voice of leadership, reason, urgency in the locker room. Let's hear what Cullen Jenkins, Eagles defensive tackle, has to say.
No really question about, playing. It's just trying to, get healthy, just be smart with it. It didn't just happen. It was something that happened, previous week against the Giants. So, just trying to give it a little time, get healthy.
How did it happen, Cole?
Getting cut.
How'd your injury happen?
Getting cut.
Who did it?
I don't know. One of them O-line from the Giants.
It's probably out of film somewhere.
Yeah, it was a tackle. They right tackle. They cut me in. And it's going down. Put the hand down. Just stretched out a little bit.
Was there any repercussion during the game after your injury?
Not to me. Just soreness. With any little muscle thing, just sore and get a little stiff sometimes.
Has it affected you over the last since it happened, either last week or this past week?
Not too much. Just like I said, just discomfort mostly.
See, with each week, after each loss, we've said this is a must-win, this is a must-win, this is a must-win. What's Sunday's game?
A must-win. we need to win. Biggest thing is we can't, look at the overall picture or overall record or how many games we got ahead of us. We just need to look at this week and, just say we need to do what it takes to win this week.
There are voices locally and nationally questioning whether Coach Reed is the right person to lead this team out of this hole. What goes through your mind when you see that type of criticism leveled at your head coach?
Well, you know, people are always going to, you know, be critical of what's going on. But, you know, we're more than capable of getting it done. You know, it's every game we've played, you know, the outcome could have very easily been different. You know, so it's not a matter of, you know, changing the lineup. You know, I said this, you know, past few weeks, we don't have to change a whole lot. You know, it's just little things we got to change, but what we have to change, you know, it's just critical for the players to get it adjusted.
With respect to this locker room, though, and the extent to which Coach Reed still has a message that resonates to this locker room, how much are you guys still buying in to what you're hearing?
We're buying in more than ever, you know, because we know that, you know, he's the one that's trying to make sure that we're staying together as a team. And, you know, it's not like, you know, he hasn't done, you know, a lot of good things and had a lot of success in this league. So, you know, you got somebody that's, you know, talking to you with a lot of experience and, you know, a lot of success under his belt. So, of course, we're buying into it.
Going up against the run, a lot of the criticism has come on the linebackers and the safeties, but what can the defensive front do to slow down what's been happening with the run?
It all starts with D-line. You know, if D-line gets a stop, it doesn't even make it back to the second level. So, you know, we stay in the meeting rooms. You know, we stay focusing on what, you know, we need to do better as a front to the unit. So, you know, we don't look at it as, you know, it's anyone's fault but our own up front. So, you know, that's how we approach it. And, you know, I think that's the attitude that we need to keep to get this thing adjusted.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night. Grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Precise. You know, a lot of those things are unlucky breaks, tip balls, stuff like that, you know.
and sometimes are out of quarterback's control, you know, so it's just, you know, we just got to be more careful with the ball.
How important is it to remain aggressive?
I mean, yeah, we're going to do that no matter what. I mean, when you have the talent that we have, I mean, there's no reason to you know, back off. You know, we're going to remain aggressive and, you know, still take our shots downfield and, you know, still get this offense going.
What do you think about, obviously, last year, the last time you played the Redskins? Is that in the back of your mind, knowing what happened there?
I mean, it's something that you can learn from. Obviously, you know, we attacked them downfield a little bit, you know, and we were clicking on all cylinders. So it's definitely something that you can look at and learn from. We understand that, you know, they're playing, you know, very good football right now. You know, that's a different team, you know, but at the same time, they do some of the same things. So, you know, that's a good tape to learn from, but, you know, it is a new season, so the games this year are probably more relevant.
It seems like it's one thing if the fans criticize the players, but it seems like now that Coach Reed is being criticized, that it's something that the players are sort of rallying around. Is that something maybe that can bring the team together and, you know, you're looking for a spark to snap this losing streak, that could be something right there that brings the team together?
You know, I don't think, you know, me personally, especially me, you know, I'm not really worried about what everybody's saying, you know, because that's not going to affect me either way, you know, as long as, you know, if it's not my coaches, not my teammates, I really don't, you know, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, we just want to rally around, you know, ourselves and this organization, you know, to go out there and play football like we're capable of playing, you know. And that's something that we want to do, and that's something that, you know, I can sit up here and say that we'll get done.
You got a game this week against the team that's the top of the division, and then you have three at home. Do you look at a stretch here where you can – this is a real opportunity for you guys to get back in this?
Yeah, definitely. We know that we know what we're capable of, and every game we play, we've been in, you know, three times we had the lead in the fourth quarter, and the last one we had a chance to, you know, tie it up then in the game. So we understand that, you know what we're capable of, and if we go out there and just eliminate one of the turnovers a game, you know, those games turn out differently, you know. So, you know, obviously we want to take care of the ball better than that, but you know, we have been executing as far as, you know, on offense and defense at the right times to getting the job done.
You mentioned the aggressiveness of this team and all the weapons. With all those weapons, do you guys still feel like at any given moment you can break out and have a huge game and win like that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's proven because we've done it before. So we understand that, you know, we can do that, and you know, that's what we plan on doing.
How have you guys remained together through all this adversity over the last couple of weeks?
You know, well, you know, this is what we do. You know, we all, you know, we like each other. We're behind each other. You know, this is our team. This is our teammates. These are my teammates. So, you know, that's an easy way to stay together, you know. And then, you know, when everybody else is looking down on you, the only people that can pull things together is us. So, you know, that's how you got to look at it. Nobody here likes losing. We're all winners here. So, you know, we got to take that mentality and translate it over to the game.
Martin said he's defenses are showing you guys things that really you don't haven't seen before, that there's sort of, you know, that chess master always goes on with teams making adjustments. Do you guys need to kind of make a move, like your chess move now? Do you feel is there something needs to happen to counter what they've been trying to do?
No, we're going to do us regardless. You know, we have our offense is you know, diverse enough that no matter what they throw at us, we know we can kind of counter that. Now, like I said, we've proven that with the numbers we put up. We just, you know, got to eliminate the turnovers. So the defenses do have a tendency to kind of, on film, they may show a lot of, you know, man-to-man, single high, and then all of a sudden you get to play us and you see two deep and quarters and just little stuff like that, you know, and then vice versa. You know, they show a lot of two deep, then you get us and they want to get in Vic's face, so they bring one extra. So, you know, teams do have a tendency to mix it up on us a little bit, and, you know, we got to go out there and you know, counterattack that when they do that.
Have they gone more away from the contained sort of mentality to the opportunistic mentality with you guys? I mean, the turnovers would seem to say that they're trying to do some things to you to make
it. It depends on what team you're playing, you know, because it's, you know, you went from, you know, the Giants who were blitzing guys like crazy, and then they played us and they played cover two, or, you know, Buffalo trying to get after Vic a little bit last week, and so they definitely are mixing it up a little bit. But like I said, you know, we put up tons of numbers, and we just got to eliminate the turnovers.
What do you remember about that Monday night game last year?
I mean, we were clicking, man. You know, we were clicking on, you know, pretty much all cylinders. But you know, we're not really worried about you know, last year, man. This is a new season, so.
Do you remember that touchdown catch you had? Was that the best catch, would you say, you've ever had in the game? You're falling back, you stayed in bounds, you caught the ball over two defenders. I mean.
I don't know. You know.
You're being modest?
It was a decent catch. You know, Vic put the ball on a spot where only I can get to it. So, it was a decent catch. But, I don't know if I would say it was my best. I don't know.
I can't wait to see a good catch. That's a decent one. So, J-Mac, I appreciate it.
All right, so that's Jeremy Macklin. Let's take a quick call here from Deagle in New Jersey. Hey, Deagle.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Yeah,